Hey, what's happening, Cultivated Familia? Welcome back. We have a very special guest with us today, Mr. Wes Brooks with NV Cannabis. Welcome to the show, Wes.
Thanks, Sergio. I appreciate the introduction. And look forward to speaking with you and the Familia you guys got going on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I just want to say thank you, man. Like, you've been one of our early cultivation partners since Cultivated opened in early 2020. So you've been crushing it with a lot of our gear. And I thought this is a perfect opportunity for us to get the community, acclimated to who you are. Cause I know NV Cannabis is about to start dropping their own flower line in your own personal brand. So this is a really special time for us. And I think a lot about what we do at Cultivated is representing the whole supply chain from the breeder to the nursery, to the cultivator, so that the end consumer can realize, you know, where their cannabis was cultivated at. So most importantly, man, you've been crushing it. A lot of our Instagram posts that we reshare from your handles, Grow with Wes and NV Cannabis, have been outstanding. So this is just our format, man. We're actually really very appreciative of the animal mints that we just are about to release coming up in the next week or so. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, NV Cannabis, and how you got started off in the cannabis community?
So, you kind of touched on it. You know, I started working with you guys back when you were, when you guys were just starting, I guess. But it kind of wraps back into the whole Instagram thing, because I originally linked up with you guys through Instagram. And a lot of the, notoriety, or, you know, the way that people are seeing my product is through Instagram. So it's kind of cool to see it go full circle, where we're making these connections. We're also making new customers and new friends through this social media app, and it's bringing us all together here. And now we're able to use that same social media app as a marketing tool to actually show you guys what products we're coming out with, what's coming up, what we have in the pipeline, without having to go down to the store and see it or ask a question to somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about. You know, so I think documenting the whole process, and then, you know, having every aspect of each company on a social media platform that everybody can go and see and kind of use as an online menu is great. So
you just touched on something so important, is actually documenting the journey, right? Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating to see a lot of these genetics perform in different environments, and what you've been showcasing is special, right? For me as a consumer, I want to follow along and find where that flower can be, purchased and acquired at, which historically NV Cannabis has really just been more of a bulk producer for the white label community, which is totally fine. But this is our ability, right? What Cultivated is doing is buying back the smalls, right? We're supporting you by buying back the smalls and putting them on a package by representing the supply chain on that package. Yeah. So that when you guys are able to put out the A buds, people are already acclimated to that particular flower and where they can find it.
Correct. Exactly. And, you know, if you've been acclimated to the A bud or to the B buds, and then, you know, you want something more as a head stash or something more that you want to hang on to or show off to other people, you know, we will have those jarred up eights ready to go for you if that is something that you look for. But you touch back on the typically white labeling. We are a small business here. You know, I am the cultivator, and I guess you would call me some form of a manager. But I run all the grow division. You know, my parents are both in this business with me as well. And I have my dad on the side of the construction side, who we've gone and we've revamped this entire building that we've used. It used to actually be an old Ace Hardware store here in Shasta Lake, and we completely gutted it and revamped that. And all while my mom is on the, you know, logistics side, she's getting our, you know, everything we need in order for our licensing, our scheduling, our meetings, you know, because without her, I don't know how we would have gotten any of this done, because I don't even know how we got some of these licensing. Some of the stacks of paperwork I saw her walk in with were ridiculous. So, you know, not having to worry about that and having essentially multiple teams tackling this has really helped us. And the fact that we're all family, we can argue, but still get along. You know, we're not afraid to push each other's buttons or ask those questions that maybe you wouldn't ask if it was somebody that you're not quite as close with as you are with your parents.
So. You know, what's interesting about that, Wes, is that a lot of people have the stigma of challenging themselves to do business with family because they've heard of such horror stories dealing with, you know, I mean, there's a reality of that. Yeah. Truth is, my parents are part of the business too at Cultivated, right? They were two of our very first employees at Cultivated Genetics. Yeah. By working on the prop table for, you know, 3 months without even collecting a paycheck, which, you know, like they just want to be a part of the process and supporting us as we grew this company, because we're bootstrapped, right? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the reality of where we're at, which is why I latched on to you guys and your story so well, because, you know, there's a lot of synergy with being able to integrate and work with your family and be successful at it.
Yeah.
So, kudos.
It goes back to the old saying, it's like, you know, you can't trust anybody more than your family, you know, and it's to even be able to get you know, my parents on board with the whole cannabis train and everything like that is remarkable in itself, because they grew up in an era where it was, you know, reefer madness. It was smoke that, melt into the couch, things like that. And the science of the entire industry has just gone to levels they never even thought were achievable. And the interest that they've garnered just after seeing the concentrates, the different types of flowers, what we can do with these flowers and these concentrates, how we can treat pain, how we can serve our customers better just based on what we know about the plant, really interests them. It interests me, of course, you know, but to see somebody who never had an interest in this industry all of a sudden be really be into it and be asking questions and to really be wanting to learn, it's remarkable, you know. So yeah, it's great. It's a great.
It really is, man. That's very well said, is that all the different applications to getting, you know, the other generations acclimated, because they are familiar with, you know, the prior campaigns about stigmatizing cannabis and we are the next wave of cannabis, right? Like, we're young. You're what, in your 20s, early 30s?
So yeah, just turned 29.
Just turned 29, man. Happy birthday. That was about a week ago, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the reality of it. It's, you know, there's a new wave of cannabis coming out. How do we educate? How do we help, you know, with the other generations that have only been stigmatized, like, you know, the Ronald Reagan campaign days. But, you know, really what's cool about what you're doing and how you're integrating that whole perspective is, you know, is just educating and documenting the process. You know, people latch on to actually seeing how the grow, you know, progresses and how these cultivars actually perform in a commercial environment, because we provide the same cuts that we do to our commercial cultivation partners that we do to our dispensary partners, right? That cultivated familia that and that grow your own community is pumping out some fire. So for them to be able to witness how they perform in a commercial environment, they have a gauge, a barometer, and, you know, able to learn, because I know you get hit up all the time on Instagram and, you know, people are asking questions about certain cultivars that they might have in their home tent as well.
Yeah. The funny thing is, a lot of people are asking me, you know, hey, can I get some of your seeds, some of your cuts and your genetics? You know, it's like, hey, look, I'm not the one that's creating this. You know, there's a whole line before me before I even get this clone, you know, and then that's where we kind of just help each other out. You know, I have multiple people that say, hey, where can I get this? And I link them to you and things like that. And ultimately the end goal is to say, hey, I've got this clone. I've never had the flower. Where can I get the flower? And then that's where we would say, hey, this is where we have it. We're partnered here with this farm and we have this available at this location, and possibly in the future at this location. So I think it's a great opportunity for people who have been following us, you know, either on social media or personally, to actually, you know, okay, well, I want to see what this is about. I want to see how their product is. I trust this side. I trust this side, and they're all working together. So let's see what their end product is. And let's see if it's something that I do enjoy more than just, you know, the pictures and videos I see on Instagram. So
No doubt. So how'd you get into cannabis, man? How long have you been cultivating for?
So myself, I've only been cultivating as, you know, the lead grower or the grower since 2017 or 2000. Yeah. I think end of 2017 is when we got our first shipment of the lights. And, but before that, you know, I've been doing a lot of outdoor grows up here in Northern California, helping other people, indoor grows, but I never had my own, you know, my own setup, my own thing. So, it was pretty nerve wracking when we set that order in, you know, cause that was back for the lights. Cause that was back before LEDs were even really talked about, you know, but for some reason, I can't remember why, but for some reason the LEDs just seemed like something that were going to work to me. And, we sat down, crunched the numbers, and, I just dove right in with LED. So I started about three and a half, four years ago, 2017, end of that. And that was with LEDs. So we just went straight into the LEDs.
That was early too, right? Because you guys are running Fluence.
Yeah. So we had the Fluence, the Spider X pluses, and those had just come out. And I think it was SMUD, Sacramento Municipal Utilities District, did a side-by-side test with, I forgot the farm's name, but one of the legal farms in Sacramento, they were actually got funded to do a test, and they tested the HPS and the LEDs. And I got a lot of good numbers from that test that I printed out. So that initially kind of sparked my interest. Like, okay, I think this is possible. The numbers make sense, but let's see if we can actually, you know, turn it into a viable product.
I think that was either Seven Leaves or Amplified.
I think it might've been Amplified.
Yeah.
I think it might've been, because they put like $50,000 in sensors all over this room, you know, and they split the rooms and they did all the numbers and it looked really good. And it made a lot of sense to me. And we did all the numbers and the numbers made sense. And we were like, well, I guess the next step is to put the power in and plug them in and start growing, you know, and that's kind of what we did. So
that's what's up. Yeah. Shout out to the Amplified crew. That's actually our next door neighbor over in Sacramento. Yeah. Shout out to Steve, Jake.
And, right on. Yeah. They did do that test, man. That helped me tremendously. And I appreciate that. So
yeah, we were actually participants in the SMUD LED rebate incentive as well. And I recall going back and looking at that, those studies, because we had Matthew McGregor from SMUD come out, help us out with the entire analysis of our, of all, you know, all the different micromole readings that we had that were currently under, you know, HPS and everything. So yeah, it was important because we definitely wanted LEDs, but obviously the price points back then were so expensive. We didn't have that in our budget, but having the aid from SMUD really helped us get to that point and actually have a phenomenal product, you know, being, being able to put on our clone rack lights. So
yeah, exactly. And I mean, Just, I have nothing to add to that. So,
So you started cultivating at this facility in like 2017. Yeah. Prior to that, you had some outdoor experience, kind of helped out a couple different farms.
I had zero experience with the indoor growing. So before 2017, somehow I was able to garner the trust to be able to take this on. You know, that's the other thing. I think we were able to run enough numbers on paper. We did a lot of the HVAC calculations, a lot of the air volume calculations, figure out our circulations, how much AC we'll need. Obviously with the LEDs, a big thing everyone finds out is the dehumidification is much more than you think you'll need. And that was a huge problem we ran into. But yeah, I mean, we were able to, luckily we were able to get by with, the first runs that we did worked. You know, it wasn't great bud, but it was marketable and it was sellable at the time. There wasn't really that much out there. You know, at the time it was kind of fresh. There was just, there wasn't a lot of these small farms that you see everywhere. You see a lot of farms now. Before it was just a couple main brands, you know, so you could white label that stuff and get by. But it's all a learning process. You know, I never really claim to know everything. I'm always continuously learning. And with those LEDs, it's still a continuous learning experience, you know, so.
Especially with new cultivars coming in there, right? I mean.
Exactly, you know, and that's the other thing. We're trying to hone down on cultivars that we like. You know, this Animal Mints, it's been a phenomenal strain for me. You know, ever since even the first time I grew it, it almost grows itself. You know, as long as you give it what it wants and you know what to give it and you treat it right, it'll treat you right. You know, a lot of other strains I've found are finicky in veg or, you know, a few problems in flower, but this one likes to power through the veg, go straight into flower and then just kind of show out through flower the whole time, you know, before it just blackens up and purples in the finish.
Yeah. So. No, man, it definitely turned out great. And I wish in the recording, I'll pop up a little, you know, screenshot of what that flower looks like because we posted it on our Instagram and it was actually the highest engaged post that I had in quite some time. So, I mean, that's it. I mean, you've honed in that specific cultivar in your operation and, you know, kudos to you, man. That's why I reached out. I'm like, Wes, what's up with this? Do you have any smalls available? Because the market responded, like people want to try this stuff. So, you know, and that just goes back to, you know, education around specific cultivars, I think I don't want to say it's lacking, but we have a lot of room for improvement about why a specific cultivar should be, why would I want to go in and get something? Well, experience behind the terpene profiles, not just looking at the THC number, man. And that's something that, you know, we're trying to preach is flavor and terpenes. Like understanding your terpenes can help drive the experience that you're looking for. You're looking for more calming or energizing effect.
The other thing for me is consistency. I think everybody is looking for consistency. I think there is a lot of inconsistency right now in the market. You know, you can get the same strain 2 weeks apart and it can be completely different smoke, you know? So that may not be on who grew it or how it was grown. It could be on how it was stored at the dispensary and things like that, but that's all kind of part of the process, I think, you know? And for me, I want to be able to create a consistent product that matches, you know, the pictures and the videos you see, you know, this is what you saw, you know, a month ago, I'm growing it again this month. And hey, guess what? It's turning out the same. You can go get this run number three when you had run number one and they should taste the same. They should smoke the same. They should give you the same experience. That's my end goal ultimately, you know, so.
Right. Yeah. That repeatable experience in is what we're striving for, right? Like, how do we create that consistency? And does it come back to, you know, quality/crop steering? Does it come back to, you know, fresh genetics every single time you're running? I mean, we're gonna find out, and we're quickly learning about that process right now too. And you know, the whole crop steering movement is definitely taking us by storm. And you know, just being able to track and record and do everything that you have logged to give that repeatable experience with specific cultivars is definitely a special thing. So.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, everything, I mean, I would assume most other cultivators that I talk to keep logs and journals and things like that. But a lot of people I talk to do not, you know, and I don't know how they sleep at night without thinking about, you know, what did I water and what am I going to have to give it tomorrow? You know, I mean, it just makes your life a whole lot easier if you log everything you do every single day. Then you don't have to think about it until you come in the next day and you open the log and this is where I left off. Because that's what I found myself doing, is I wasn't doing the proper, I was doing logs, but not with enough information. So there were questions I still had the next day from the previous day, you know? So I feel like that can also hamper that can also hinder your consistency, and it, you know, things like that all go back into the final product and it can be a negative. So.
Sure. Sure. So let's talk a little bit about your farm. What do you, so obviously you're running under LEDs. Talk a little bit more about that.
So right now we are, I guess they are licensing the, what they call our license is a cottage grow. So we're licensed for 5,500 square feet of canopy space. And right now I think we only have about 2,000. Mm-hmm. So we do have future plans. We're going to build out a whole new building in our courtyard. We've got all the plans ready for that. And we should be hopefully starting that this year, probably next year with all this COVID stuff. I don't know. And the prices of everything, it's just insane to think about starting a new building right now, but we'll cross that road when it happens. Right now we have 4 full-time flower rooms. We're doing the double stack system. So you'll see the double stack tiered stacks, kind of like the racks that you'll see at Home Depot, things like that. So essentially we're able to double our canopy space in each room, you know, whereas most people are hanging them from the ceiling and wasting all this space up here. So we've used those racks to get more plants in there and essentially get more yield. And we were also growing in 100% cocoa right now. So we use the Floraflex nutrients and their cocoa line as well. And it's treated us, you know, really well. So I have no reason to go away from it right now. So.
Very nice. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, that was one of the things that we talked about earlier, you know, was the consistency. You've been using that for how many, like, you know, was that 2-3 years now? And you've been able to understand how it reacts, how that media, how you can treat it to, you know, introduce any new cultivar in there. And now you've got a good recipe that you can consistently repeat.
Yeah, because we started out with 5-gallon pots of soil. I had straight soil King's mix, essentially soil, which was King's mix in those rooms. And the amount of bugs and other things that brings in is just incredible. So in a bad way, not in a good way. So we quickly went away from the soils and found that cocoa is just the easiest thing to maintain. And it's obviously going to be the cleanest. It's going to be a lot cleaner than a soil that can have bugs. If it's sitting out there, it's sitting out there on the pallets at the grow stores for who knows how long. We're just running into all types of problems with that. So I think the cocoa, it's a more consistent medium to use. I always tell everybody, you know, if you have a problem in cocoa, you can always flush that cocoa out and you can recharge it. You know, with soil, you're gonna have to wait days before you see even the negative side effects. Then you're gonna have to wait even longer to try and treat those side effects. So for me, cocoa is just a lot easier. It is. You do have to maintain it and be more uptight on it and scheduled with it. But the ability to correct problems or to spot problems is the benefit for me. And I don't think I'll ever go back. So
makes sense. Yeah. A lot of that tracking and like you said, you're just comfortable with it. You know, when something is off.
Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know? So it's like, keep using it. So
that's great, man. So, all right, I want to touch on the industry. I mean, I think we get a lot of questions about how do I get into the cannabis industry? What are some things that you'd be telling your younger self if there was like a, you know, a path or any way to give back to somebody that is, you know, unhappy with their current career path? They see the cannabis industry, know that they can bring value to it. What are some things that you would, give back as advice?
Well, I mean, like for myself, when I first started, I didn't know anything, you know, but I was asking questions. Now that I look back, you know, I was on Instagram messaging all types of people trying to get a response, you know, people that I didn't even know. I was like, oh, that's a pretty big time guy that you got to respond to you. Like, he responded to you. And I'm like, yeah. I'm asking him this and this about temperatures. And he's like, whoa, okay. So I don't know. I think just being eager to learn and asking questions, I mean, that always gets my attention. If someone's asking me an honest question in my DMs, 90% of the time, I'm going to answer it. Even if it's like, hey, what temperatures and humidity do you run? You know, it's like, okay, well, I can give you a baseline from where to start, you know, because there are a lot of people out there who are absolutely struggling, you know, and I'm from California and this has just been the normal. We've always known cannabis, you know, it's been in the neighbor's yard, you know, since we've been little kids, you know, so when I get people from states like Virginia or way over in like New York, the East Coast, asking me questions like, hey, I got this closet grow, you know, what can I do to help it? You know, and I'm like, all right, I'll kick you a bone, man. I'll definitely help you out. What questions do you got? You know, that's cool. Cause I was there, dude. I was asking I guess there's no such thing as a stupid question, but stupid questions, you know, and people were answering them. That's the thing. So I don't know where I would have been if people weren't answering these questions, but I think, you know, having the ability to just ask those questions and not be afraid to ask them or be embarrassed, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You know, they're going to say, no, dude, don't do that. Or yeah, you're completely wrong. Then you go, okay, well, great. I'm glad I could stop doing that, you know, and things like that. So I always say, obviously you can reach out to people on Instagram and see what the hiring thing is like. But I'm always attracted to people who are eager to learn, asking a lot of questions. And then for me, our biggest thing is trust. And that's hard to judge. You know, you kind of have to bring someone in before you can figure out if you can trust them. For me, the biggest thing is trust. I can teach you how to grow. I can teach you how to maintain some of these rooms and teach you how to really help me. But if I can't trust you, I can't do anything. I got to be watching you. I got to be doing all these other things. So if I can find somebody that I can trust, I can train you to do what you, to help me, you know? So I don't know how that helps somebody who wants to get into the industry that already is interested, you know, but you just got to be trustworthy, ask questions and just be eager to learn, because this is like kind of the way I've heard it described. It's almost like the dot-com bubble, you know, the way this is all new. There's no studies being done on this. We kind of know things, but we're learning new things every day. The light technology is advancing. The grow mediums are advancing. The strains are just insane. You know, those are always advancing and it's just always changing. It's ever changing, you know? So who knows where we're going to be in 5 years, you know? I don't know what types of lights we're all going to be using in facilities and HVAC units and the power grids, you know, it's all just, there's a lot of power getting sucked out of everywhere with these big grows. So, I mean, LED is going to be the future. It's just a matter of which LEDs are right and how do you implement the right LEDs into your grow to make it work? Because every grow is different, you know? So what works at my grow may not work at another grow, you know, but it could be the same stuff, but it's fine tuning. And, you know, that's, we're still fine tuning our rooms, you know, because they can always use a little bit of a tune, you know. That's, I never say it's perfect and done. It can always go bad. And right when you think it's going good, something always pops up and rears its head to remind you like, hey man, you don't got to figure it out. Keep working on it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's it. That's where the professional cultivation aspect comes into play. You're waiting for the problem so you know how to address and pivot. So,
yeah. I went through a lot of problems in the beginning, so I know what to expect or if something pops up, what's causing it. So I guess that's pretty helpful because I went through a lot of different things that, you know, can happen in a room, failures or diseases or bugs, and you learn what works, you learn what you can apply to that and what, you know, can ruin the end product or what you shouldn't apply at all, things like that. So yeah, you don't know what you don't know until you know it. You know, you got to get your feet into it with a problem to figure out how to solve it. And then once you figure that out, you've got that stored forever. And if it ever pops up again, you should have something to reference back to.
Right. Every good jeweler cracks a few diamonds, right?
Exactly. Well, I always say a broken clock's right twice a day, you know?
That's a great point. You know, but okay, so those are great takeaways, man. Like, so people that are listening and just intrigued about getting into the cannabis industry, you got to ask questions. Don't be afraid to challenge and to ask and, you know, really want to progress to learn about some of these things that you're interested in. Yeah. And you got to be accountable and trustworthy. I mean bottom line.
The other thing too is, you know, with Instagram, that's essentially a resume. You know, mm-hmm. You could be posting everything you're doing there, how you're growing, how you know how to grow, your past experiences, because I can go on your Instagram and be like, oh, this guy's legit. He knows what he's doing. If I can trust this guy, then we're good. You know, so I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to say what will work, because when I first got into the industry, it was just so Wild West, you know, it was just starting. Like, there were no companies that other people were, you know, knocking on the door asking, hey, where could we work? It's like, hey, if you want to get in this industry, you need to start a business. You need to start the cultivation, because there isn't people out there, you know, hiring right now. It's a real close-knit circle. So we were actually the first license in all of Shasta Lake. So we were before, I believe, Ember Valley, before Golden State Cultivators. We were one of like the first people to get ours done up here. So we would kind of help blueprint a little bit. And then up here in Shasta County, there's people that from San Diego and Sacramento that will call up to our offices or whatever they are up here, you know, that do all the licensing, and they'll be asking questions, because apparently up here, it's a lot easier to get the licensing than it has been in places like Sacramento and San Diego, you know? So it's, things move a little bit slower up here. So you're more likely to get a response to somebody, you know, as far as asking for a job and things like that. But, yeah, it's kind of hit or miss, you know? But if you do have the talent and you are eager to learn, I mean, it's hard to ignore that. So somebody out there will respond to that.
Yeah, that's a great point. And leaning into your strengths, right? I mean, not everybody's suited to be a cultivator, but they could be around the operation that can apply their skill set. Maybe it's in accounting, maybe it's in inventory management, maybe it's in, you know, IPM, right? It's all kind of circling around, just going back to building a business and having.
I would say, like, pick something that you want to do. I mean, that you want to be great at. Do you want to be a great cultivator? Do you want to be a great veg room manager? Do you want to be the clone guy? Do you want to be the mom guy? Do you want to be the guy that comes in with two other guys and is like, hey, I'm the guy that comes in, flips all your rooms and gets it ready for the next crew to come in and put all that stuff down. But you can't be all everything. You know, if you come in with saying, hey, I want to just kill your guys' clone program. I want to cut babies. I want to grow these moms for you. Make sure you guys have clones ready to go for all these rooms, whatever you want. That would be insane. That would be incredible, because that's what I need. That's what everybody needs. You know, it seems like everybody wants to be a cultivator because that seems like the greatest job, you know, but you're managing everybody else, dude. And it's stressful, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, I think these other smaller niche jobs that help the whole cultivation process go along are super important as well. You know, so if you can be a clone specialist, or you can be coming in and flipping the rooms and cleaning them and making them perfect type of specialist, that's awesome. If you can be a mom room manager, that's awesome. If you can be the strictly only the veg guy who just manages the veg until they're ready to go to flower, that's phenomenal as well, because every facility needs that. So most facilities already have that, you know, which I'm sure people will run into, you know, but it never hurts to ask. And there's always people out there that are like myself, which is a smaller farm, that probably would be like, hey, you know, we are interested in that, you know, let's see what we can make happen. Here's what we're doing. Here's what you want to do. Let's see if we can create a path together.
That's great advice, man. I love that. Well said. And you know, you don't know until you ask and really just dive into it.
So yeah. I mean, you're going to feel stupid sometimes, but it is what it is, you know?
No, that's great, man. This has been awesome, dude. Is there anything else that you'd like to touch on regarding NV Cannabis, or what? Talk to us about the future. How soon do you guys anticipate actually dropping branded NV Cannabis flower?
So ideally sometime this year, I mean, but with our staff right now, we only have a 4 to 5 people person staff. So when it comes to jarring up the product and labeling it, you know, we've been sitting down thinking about it, you know, having to get the machinery to do it and make it quicker for us, just because we're such a small operation, you know, and for us to physically do that, it would kind of hamper some of the other things we're doing on the cultivation side. So we're making the white labeling work, you know, for the time being. But yeah, I would like to have our name, might not be on 8th jars, but like the smalls bags, you know. Definitely in the future, hopefully sometime this year, but it's hard to say, especially with COVID. And then, you know, now bringing in new employees with COVID, that's just a whole nother question in itself, you know? So I'm glad we were able to get together and, you know, get this Animal Mints into these smalls bags, because I think the smalls is a great idea, because not everybody's looking for this nice jar at $65 for a couple nugs, you know. More realistically, I think these smalls work a lot better for what people are looking for. You get in a larger amount for, it seems to be a better deal. And it's essentially the same stuff, you know, they're just smaller nugs. So
it all ends up in the grinder, right?
Exactly. It all ends up smoked, you know?
Yeah, that's it, man. So talk to us a little bit about what do you currently have in the garden?
So right now we have the ice cream man from you guys. So that's got a couple weeks left, and that's phenomenal. I've been posting that one on my Instagram, but that one's kind of growing a lot, like how the Animal Mints was. It's just set it in motion and then monitor it, give it what it wants, and it's going. So it's been a really easy, I think that was a 12 to 14 day veg on that one before I flipped it. And then I believe the other one we just got from you was the Marshmallow OG. I'm actually blanking on that. It was the Marshmallow OG, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Correct. So yeah. So we have that Marshmallow OG, and then that's it.
Okay. Talk to us a little bit about the ice cream, man. What are you noticing? So it was a 12 to 14 day veg. That's pretty damn quick.
Yeah, crazy fast veg. And the smells from it are just super, super like orangish terp. So like I had an orange creamsicle from, I believe it was Finest Cannabis. And this is throwing off a lot of the same terps as that. Mm-hmm. So it's going to depend on what people are looking for, but it is kind of like a gassy push pop orange. Yeah. How it's been described, push pop orange smell. But yeah, the second you open the door, it smells like orange. It's got that citrusy smell. So We'll see how that correlates into the taste, because I know the orange creamsicle that tasted exactly like it smelled, which some people like, some people didn't. It's all kind of personal preference. I personally kind of like, I like when the terps correlates right into the taste, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like that citrusy taste, but, you know, we'll see how this one turns out. But so far, it's really good, and it's starting to stack right now. So I think in the last couple of weeks, it's going to really show out, and hopefully we can bring some dark colors into it and really purple it up and really make that bag appeal like next level with it. Cause that ultimately that's my goal. I know these LEDs help the bud just show out at the end and then really exhibit a lot of their colors and characteristics. So that's really my ultimate goal with every strain. You know, if people are saying, oh, it doesn't get really purple, I'm like, well, I'll definitely get it purple for you.
Talk to us about that. Do you chill the room like the final week or so? Or
Yeah. So I always bring the room down the lot during the nights. We'll bring it down to like 60, 65, but towards the end when I'm doing the flushes, it's always really cold water, you know, the ice cold water. A lot of the older techniques, people put ice cubes on the actual plants, you know, which is not quite feasible as one to two people in there going and doing that. But we always chill down the water, and that seems to always help, you know. But the animal mints, we didn't freeze down the water. Usually we did it to like 42 to 45, and the animal mints, this one was like 55. We didn't really dump as much cold water into it, and it still went straight black, you know? So if it has a chance to go purple, it seems to have no problem doing so under our lights, you know, under the LEDs. So, so far so good.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. I love the ice cream and terp profile as well. I think that was great. That was a great explanation. An orange push pop. I mean,
That's exactly, once someone said that to me, that's exactly how it smells now, you know, once I smell it. But my initial reaction was, wow, this smells a lot like the orange creamsicle.
Yeah.
So we had mixed reviews on, you know, not everybody likes that fruity smell, which I totally get. I get it. So,
shout out to Cultivator, Mr. Mark Fitzgerald, man. Yeah. He threw out that orange push pop, reference point. I'm like, holy shit, that is exactly what it smells and tastes like. Cause my parents just harvested their ice cream, man, not too long ago. And the smell definitely translates to the smoke. Okay, and it just coats your mouth with that, you know, and you're getting some of that terpenylene and the limonene and the terp profile. Yeah. So it does have a little bit more of an energizing effect, even though it's got, you know, it's labeled as an indica hybrid. But this is, again, going back to the education around terpenes and why, you know, the whole polyhybridized versions of all these cultivars are labeled as an indica hybrid. But look at the terp profiles. Like, the terps don't lie. The terps drive the experience behind an energizing or a calming effect. So, I mean, that's really what drove me to the ice cream man as well. And I kept going back to it, was because it did have that orange citrusy taste and flavor that was a bit more energizing for me personally, because my endocannabinoid system, it liked it. So and it was really special, but you still got that little bit of a gas in there too for that effect.
Yeah. And we did, with that orange creamsicle, that was a citrusy smell. You know, we did half ounce bags of that at the local dispensary here, and it was great because people smelt it smells like orange, and then they would say, hey, I went home, smoked it, and it had a citrusy taste to it. You know, it wasn't a bad taste. And it was exactly what I was expecting. That's the thing people seem to be saying, is like, it smelled this way, but it tasted this way.
Sure.
You know, and they're kind of getting mixed reviews on it, you know? So I think that's nice, you know, when it smells like something and then it correlates back into the taste, you know? But it's all, you know, it's all personal preference. So ultimately, you know, Ice Cream Man will have Ice Cream Man, some Animal Mints, and a couple other strains. So we want to have kind of the whole menu for you guys, depending on what you're looking for. You know, we don't want to be a strictly couch lock indica style grower, or, you know, an uppity city going sativa style grower. You know, we kind of want to do it all, you know, but I definitely want to make sure it's good looking stuff and correlates into the taste and, you know, the smoke as well.
So, I couldn't agree more, man. That's exactly how we select our cultivar libraries, is based off those things that you just said. We don't want to be all, you know, heavy onto one side. Kevin Jodry said it perfectly. You know, you got to have your four major categories, your fruit and floral, fuel and earth, right? So how do we integrate all that? And I think we have a phenomenal lineup coming out in this springtime. You know, we're bringing in the Dog Walker OG back. I mean, she killed it last year, just from that loud fuel side of things, heavy yielder as well, high tester.
Yeah. I think that one tested for me at like 30%, I think, you know.
That's awesome. So, yeah. I think the highest test results we saw on that one was like 35% THC, 43% total cannabinoids, and like 3.4% terps, like something up there. Like, it definitely has the PR for us right now. But going back to like the other type of flavor profiles, like the pineapple pez sours and the melonade, like these are some, you know, some citrusy, more, you know, bubblegum type of pineapple, unique terp profiles that we're excited to bring out, you know, and kind of not to say that gelato is, you know, dominant in our current library, but a lot of the Jet Fuel gelato crosses that we do have, they've been phenomenal. But like you said, you integrate something like the ice cream, man, with that legend orange apricot being a really strong dominant, you know, taker on the profile, you know, you get a little bit more mixture in there.
Yeah, it definitely is dominant on that, you know, and it's been a great plant so far, you know? So yeah, I mean, I highly recommend it. I'm looking forward to the final product, what it looks like. I think I've mentioned, I've never grown this. So it's a new cultivar for myself. So I don't know what the end result is. So that's always kind of exciting. You know, so I always like to start with the baseline and ultimately, you know, we'll run this in the future again. And then we'll have this baseline to start with. And for me, the baseline, it seems to always get better from the baseline, you know, so the animal mints, the first run were great. And then I've been able to tune it in and get exactly what I want out of it. You know, now that I've done it multiple times, you know, I have multiple handbooks and notebooks and logs, you know, let me know what I did throughout each stage so I can tweak each day a little bit and see if that is good or bad, you know, and then go from there.
Right on, Wes. Well, again, man, I just want to say thank you again for being part of the Cultivated Familia. Keep crushing it. Let the community know how we can follow and find you.
Yeah, Sergio, I appreciate you guys so much as well. It's been an awesome journey that this train ain't stopping, you know, we're still going. So we'll see where we end up next. But I appreciate everybody on Instagram, man. The love I get on Instagram at Grow With Wes is pretty insane. My DMs are always like full of questions. So I try and answer all of them, you know. But yeah, if you ever have any questions or curious, feel free to DM me at Grow With Wes. Our cultivation side is NB Cannabis. I also run that Instagram too, you know, so if I'm not responding on that one, you can always go over to Grow With Wes and I'll probably be on that one. But yeah, I mean, like I said, if you're interested in the industry, everybody's always looking for passion and trust, you know, I myself included. So if you think you have both of those, let us know what you're passionate about. And if it's something that we need, you know, on our cultivation side, maybe we can make it work. Or if it doesn't work for us, somebody out there might be looking for that same thing too. But you know, kind of what I touched on before, pick a specialty and try and be the best you can be at that. Cause that's kind of what I chose to do is I wanted to be a badass kick-ass cultivator. And I'm still trying to do that, you know? So it's been 3.5-4 years and I'm still striving to get there, always learning. So it's a long process, but if you can pick something that you want to be the best at, or try to be the best at, I think it's limitless. I mean, your ability to learn is just going to skyrocket, you know, your interest in learning is going to skyrocket as well. So, like I said, Grow With Wes on Instagram, NB Cannabis as well. And, follow these guys, if you aren't already, Cultivated Nursery.
You heard it, brother. Hey, thank you again, man. We appreciate you guys. Keep on the lookout for the Animal Mints by Sea Junkie dropping, probably within the next week. So, that's going to be the week of 420. So
perfect.
Appreciate you guys, Wes. Much love, brother. Thank you for being part of the Cultivated Familia, man.
Appreciate you as well, Sergio. Tell everybody else I said hi, and I'll see you guys on the next clone pickup, baby.
Sounds good, brother. Take care.
Yeah, take easy.
Peace.